We turn in God's Word tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The text tonight will be the verses 3 through 5 of the chapter, and we'll read the first 11 verses of the chapter. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Thus far we read God's word. As I said, the text tonight is verses 3 through 5. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Let's now pray and ask God's blessing on the preaching. Our Father in heaven, we've come here tonight to sing, to praise thy name, but also to hear the preaching of thy word, to meditate upon thy word as we come to the end of this year. And for us in this past year, there have been times of suffering and hardship. It's been true for all of us to one degree or another. But we pray tonight that we may learn to look back upon that with the right perspective, seeing and knowing as well the beauty of the comfort that we have in Jesus Christ, that has been our comfort in the year gone by, and that will be our comfort in the new year as well. We pray, O Lord, that thou wilt use this word to comfort us too in our many afflictions, so that through this thy name may be blessed and thy name may be praised. Keep us from everything that would distract us as we hear the word tonight. All this we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. We live in a world where suffering is a constant reality. Suffering is a constant reality because of the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve, and because of the way in which sin has affected us and this world in which we live. I point that out to us at the beginning of the sermon tonight because what that means for us is that as we look back upon a year that is almost finished, we see that there are many things in this past year that were afflictions, trials, and sufferings for us. Maybe, in fact, for some of us, as we think about the past year, we think we can't wait for it to be finished and we can turn the page into a new year so that hopefully the new year will be better than the past year that we have gone through. There has been suffering for us. And that's the particular question for us tonight. What suffering have we faced in this past year? And then along with that, why is there this suffering? Why has God brought this suffering upon our lives? We want to have a biblical view of this suffering because we live in a world that sees suffering as an interference in life. In the world in which we live, comfort comes from being delivered from all suffering, getting away from it, and finding some escape from that suffering in life. And the view of this world on suffering and comfort can have its influences upon us as well, so that we would think in those ways too. The thing I need is simply to distance myself from the suffering that I've had in my life. But we have to understand that the message of the Bible is so very different. In fact, the Bible says that we are called to suffer. The Bible says that we can expect suffering because we belong to Jesus Christ. We belong to a suffering Savior. And because we belong to a suffering Savior, we can expect that there will be suffering in our lives as well. It's not a matter of if you will have suffering, but when we will have suffering. But as we suffer in this life, whatever it is that we suffer, we also experience God's comfort. There is a comfort for us, and it's not a complete escape from all the suffering of life, but as we go through the suffering, there's a real comfort that God gives to us. And that is the purpose of suffering, that we would have that comfort and know that comfort and be rooted in that comfort. And then we would be able to bring that comfort to others. And in the end, God would be glorified as we together are comforted in Jesus Christ. What describes our lives really is verse 5 of the text that we look at, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. Hasn't that been true in the past year? And throughout our lives, there's been sufferings. So also, our consolation aboundeth by Christ. That aboundeth has the idea of abundance. There's been an abundance of suffering, but there's also been an abundance of comfort. In all of our sufferings, there is hope. And that hope is rooted in the fact that we belong to Jesus Christ. I'm a child of the King, and He loves me with a love that cannot be taken away. He has accomplished what was necessary so that there's forgiveness for all of my sins. He gives what's necessary so that I can fight against sin in my life. There's victory over the power of sin, and He's the one who's working all suffering for my good. So tonight we want to see our abounding comfort. That's our theme tonight. Our abounding comfort. We notice first what it is in the light of the afflictions of this life. Secondly, how God gives us this comfort, how God does it. And there are three ways that God gives it as it's spoken of here in the text. And then finally, the purpose of God in that. With what purpose? We have in this past year experienced consolation or comfort that abounds by Christ in the abounding suffering and tribulation of this past year. We live in a world where there is an abundance of suffering. And as Christians, we are not untouched by these sufferings. That's something that's emphasized here in the passage. By my count, there are at least 10 times in which this chapter mentions suffering or tribulation in one form or another. That shows the prominence of that, not only just in this chapter, but the prominence of suffering in our lives. The word tribulation in verse 3, that word refers to a pressing or a squeezing. The idea of that is it's like in our lives we're being pressed so that we almost disintegrate, it would seem. Sometimes that pressing can be so severe and so tight. The word sufferings in the text, verse 5, refers to the calamities and the evils and the hard things that come upon us. And those are the things that squeeze us, and those are the things that crush us. What is so hard about these things? Well, all tribulation, all suffering is difficult because it results in the loss of something. There's loss. The loss of life. The loss of health. The loss of friends. The loss of work. The loss of money. The loss of peace. The loss of family members, or the loss of some sense of normalcy in our lives. That's the suffering, the loss that comes from persecution. It comes from death. It comes from sickness. It comes from sin. These are the things that produce loss in our own lives. There have been many who have lost in this past year. Lost health, lost loved ones, lost work, lost peace even for a time because of the reality of sin. But there's something more to this tribulation than that. Where there is loss, there is pain that is left in its wake. Like, for example, when one has surgery, the surgery itself does not create pain because we're not conscious when we have surgery, but it's afterward. Then there's the experience of pain. So that's true in the tribulations and the losses of our lives. There's pain that follows from that loss. For example, when someone is bereaved, when someone has lost a loved one in death, someone is very close to them, there are four main stages of grief that one goes through. These four main stages, I don't believe, are just for those who lose a loved one, but they are things that we can go through to one degree or another anytime there is a significant loss that takes place in our lives. And these are the four stages of grief. I just set those before you so that you can see and understand something about the pain and suffering that can come upon us in our sufferings. It gives us an understanding of the things that we may go through. The first step in that can be a numbness. One lives in somewhat of a fog. They can hardly believe that whatever has happened that was traumatic in their lives happened. And so they live their lives in somewhat of a fog. They have a hard time making sense out of things. And this can then lead to anger. Anger with other people. Anger with the circumstances of life. Anger with themselves. And in the end, it can be anger with God Himself. There's anger that can follow in this whole process. And then after that, this can lead to depression. There's so much crushing and so much pressure. It seems that we can't go on in that. There's a disintegration of mind and soul and heart. And it's hard to go on with each new day. And that's when there can be a desire then to simply find an escape from it all. But the fourth stage is one of adjustment and recovery. One of acceptance with what happens, a bowing to the sovereignty of God and the assurance of His love. And we can go through those stages of grief in our own lives, not just when someone dies, but in other circumstances as well, when there's hardship and difficulty in our lives. And maybe many of these things are adding up, and there can be this anger, there can be this depression. But we have to understand, as we're going through these stages, that this is a process through which God is working so that we come to grips with His rule over our lives and the reality of His love. The way through this is painful and it's hard. There's nothing easy about it. But we have to see and understand the end of that all. The end of that all is the comfort. The end of that all is knowing the love of God more strongly than we ever knew it before. It's being rooted and grounded in a true comfort. That's why that whole process is so very important in our lives. It's in this tribulation, the loss, the pain, that we come to see and know real abiding comfort in God. That's what the text is pointing out. It speaks on the one hand of the afflictions and sufferings, but over against that, there are the comforts we have in God. On the one hand, an abundance of suffering. On the other hand, an abundance of comfort in God Himself. That's where the text begins. That's where Paul begins here in the text. He begins with God. He wants our focus, as he talks about tribulation and suffering, to be on God. That's where he begins in verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He's the God who comforts us in all of our tribulations. That God is the God of all comfort means that He's the source of all true comfort. And so Paul begins with Him. He begins by talking about God. He says, blessed be God, praise be God for the comfort that He gives. And what a wonderful comfort He gives. That word comfort here in the text has the idea of someone who comes alongside someone. Like a friend who comes alongside another friend who's hurting and struggling and puts his arm or her arm around that friend to comfort and to help that friend. The idea here is that God in this comfort is active. It's not just that He wishes that we would have comfort. He's active in this comfort. He comes and He does something. He gives strength. He gives support. He gives encouragement. He gives healing counsel. He comforts with His word. And that God is the God of all comfort means that this God then is the source of all comfort. Comfort can be found in nothing else. Comfort cannot be found in pills. Comfort cannot be found in food. Comfort cannot be found in sex. Comfort cannot be found in people. Comfort cannot be found in running away from our problems and our struggles. As a psalmist even speaks of that on one occasion, that he wishes he could grow wings and fly far away. He wants to fly away from all of his troubles. We know that experience too, that feeling in our own hearts. We just want to get away from it all. But there's no comfort in that. There's comfort found only in God. And that comfort is found in His mercy. That's why Paul puts together that God is the God of all comfort and that He's the God of mercy. He's the Father of mercy. That means He's the source of mercy. Mercy is the compassion, the pity that God has upon His people in their misery. It's the pity and compassion He has that's driven by the love that He has for His people. And that's where real comfort is found. It's found in God's mercy. It's knowing that I'm held in the hollow of the hand of the one who has created all things and rules all things. Real comfort is found in knowing that God loves me with a love that changes not, and that nothing can take me away from that love in Jesus Christ. Real comfort is found in knowing that even though the winds of the storms blow, that I cannot be blown away from my Savior and from my God. So this is a comfort that comes to us in Jesus Christ. That's the importance of verse 5, that there is our consolation that abounds by Christ. We have an abundant comfort in Jesus Christ. And that's because in Jesus Christ, you see the evidence of God's love. You just look to the cross. There you see it. God gave His only begotten Son. And He gave His life. There's the love of God manifest. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There's the love of God. He gave His only begotten Son to pay for the sins of His people. What a beautiful love of God we see there. That's our comfort. That's our consolation. Beloved, in the past year, there's been an abundance of affliction. But there's also been an abundance of comfort. The idea being is that never, never does the affliction we have in this life outweigh the comfort that we have in Jesus Christ and in God alone. But instead, just as there is affliction, there's a comfort that comes and always meets our need and gives to us everything that we need. God always comforts us in our pain and in our suffering. That's the beautiful word of this passage. As we look back on our sufferings, maybe we don't want to, maybe we don't want to see them, but it's good to see them. Because as we see them, we see the comfort that God has given us as well. How does God give us this comfort? Well, there are three ways that God gives us this comfort as the text speaks of that. The first is this. God comforts by His Word. He comforts by His Word. Words are vital for the healing process spiritually. The idea of the word comfort is that as God comes alongside of us, the way in which He encourages us is with His Word. God speaks to us by His Word, and in that very Word, He comforts us. That's the emphasis of comfort. It takes place by the Word. Well, what is it that God speaks to us that comforts us so much? Well, what comforts us so much is the Word of God's promises. It's the promises of the Gospel. The word that comforts us is God's sovereignty, where He speaks and says, I'm in control. I'm the one who holds the whole world in my hand. And I'm the one who's leading and directing all things for your good and for my glory. That's what God says. He's the one who's sovereign over all things, including the circumstances that bring pain and loss. God's sovereign. Along with that, God's Word assures us of His love. He assures us that His love for us never changes and that it's unfailing. That's the beauty of Romans 8. Is there anything that can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ? Can these circumstances, can this pain that hurts so much to the depths of my soul, can any of that take me away from the love of God? And the answer of God is no. There's nothing that can separate us from His love. We need that assurance. We need that assurance because of our own sin. Because as we would see our sin and look at ourselves, we say, I'm not worthy of the love of God. And if you say that, you're right. You and I are not worthy of the love of God. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. That's the beauty of His grace. He loves us, although we don't deserve that love. We know that God in His love, that love that we've confessed, that love that we've experienced, and sometimes then in our weakness we wonder about it, but we have to see and understand that love we know changes not. God never changes in His love. God speaks this word of His sovereignty and His love in every stage of our pain and grief. When maybe we're in a fog. When maybe we're in the midst of anger. When maybe we're down and we're depressed. Every step of the way, God speaks His word. And He says, no, I'm in control. I love you. And that never changes. It's that very word that brings the recovery and the healing and the acceptance of His will. That's why through our struggles and pains, we constantly need the word. One of the things that struck me as I look back upon this past year is how God has faithfully brought us the word. He's brought us the word every Sunday this past year. He's brought the word in the catechism classes. We have the word in our homes, and the word has been read and studied in our homes, around our tables or in our living rooms when we've had family worship. One of the things to look back on in this past year is how God has blessed us with His word. He's spoken to us. He's comforted us in all of our pains and afflictions. And now going forward, let's see and understand, we continue to need the word. When we're going through some of this grief and some of this pain, sometimes we want to withdraw. We put our Bibles down. We don't want to go to church and hear the word. And maybe even if we're here, we don't want to hear what God has to say to us. And we maybe even block it out. But we need to hear the word of God. Because in it, God speaks of His faithfulness and His goodness. Not only has He spoken to us in our worship services, He's spoken at funerals. He's spoken at marriage ceremonies. He's spoken to us in all of the circumstances of our lives. What a great blessing it is for us to have the Word of God. That's the first way that God speaks this comfort to us. The second way that God gives it to us is by His people. That's verse 4. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. When you read that, it's speaking of something else. We're going to look at that. There's a purpose for the suffering that God gives, that we may comfort others. But the reality is when we're hurting and struggling, the other side of this is that God comforts us through other people who have experienced hardships similar to ours, and they've received and experienced the comfort of God. The idea here in the passage is that there's a circle of comfort. That one who receives comfort from someone else brings that comfort to someone else who's in need, who maybe in the end brings it back to that first person who was in need. Somewhat like the water cycle. We're experiencing that now, aren't we? Lake effect snow. Where does that moisture come from? It comes from Lake Michigan. The water evaporates into the clouds. It falls as snow on the ground. And the springtime is going to melt. And where does that water go? Well, some goes into the ground, but much of it's going to go into the streams and into the rivers, right back into Lake Michigan. It goes full circle. And that's the idea of this comfort too. That this comfort goes full circle. So that those of us who need comfort receive it from others who have needed comfort in the past and received it. And maybe we bring it to them again or to others, so that there is this circle of comfort that comes to us. We need that comfort. We need other people in our lives who are going through similar struggles and hardships so that we can be comforted by them. We have to understand this rightly. This is not just simply having a support group of all kinds of people who can commiserate with us because they know exactly what we've gone through. That's not the idea. In fact, the reality is we don't need someone else who's gone through exactly the same thing as we have to receive comfort from them. It's not just about that. But instead, it's about people who have experienced the comfort of God, who know it in the depths of their souls through going through a hard time themselves. And they then bring that comfort to those who are hurting and struggling. That's what we need. People have gone through hardships themselves and been comforted by God. There are many examples of that in the Bible. There are many examples of that within the church. One of the people I thought of, and maybe you've read books by her, is Elizabeth Elliot. She's gone through a lot of death in her own life. If I remember right, sister, when she was young, lost at least two husbands by death. And she's written a lot about the pain of that, the reality of death and going through that. I've read books by her and I've listened to tapes where she's spoken on that subject as well. And she's come to know the comfort of God herself through all of that death that she's experienced and others besides the ones I mentioned. And she's brought that to others. That's what the text here is talking about. Now, there's in the Bible, we read of that too. Their lives, life stories are here and the things they've gone through are here so that we can be comforted by the comfort that they have come to know as well. Beloved, this is why we need to belong to the church. It's one of the great blessings of being part of the church of Jesus Christ, that others who are comforted by the grace of God would bring hope and comfort to us. When there's death, it's our practice that there's a visitation with the family at the funeral home usually. Why do we have that? We have it because of what we have here in 2 Corinthians 1. So that people who have come to know the comfort of God may bring comfort to those who are hurting and struggling. God brings His word through people who've come to know comfort in their own lives. That's part of what a pastor does. Elders do. We don't just bring an abstract word. We come as those who know the power of God's grace and the wonderful comfort of the gospel ourselves, and we bring that to others. The third way. So first by the word, second by other people. The third way is by Christ's suffering. That's the way in which God comforts us. It's with the sufferings and the consolation of Christ. Our union with Christ, our living with relationship with Christ results in two things, suffering and comfort. That's what verse 5 says, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. We have suffering that comes from our relationship with Christ. When striving to do the right thing and we live in this wicked world and there's mockery, there's persecution that comes in whatever form it comes. There's loss that comes because of that. That's suffering because of our union with Christ. There's sufferings that come with that because our Savior is a suffering Savior. But we also have comfort in Christ. Because He suffered these things, He's won the victory for us, and there is our comfort. He's paid fully for all of our sins, and He has won the victory for us. Now, in our sufferings, we look to Christ. That's where we need to look when we're going through the fog, when we're angry, when we're depressed. Well, this is maybe the last place we want to look, but there's where we need to look. We need to look at Christ. See Him in truth, that He's a suffering Savior, but a Savior in whom the love of God is fully revealed. And this Savior is a living Savior. It's not just about His death. It's about where He is right now. He's in heavenly glory. And there, He is our intercessor. He's our advocate. And He is the one who is able to help us and does help us too. He's our sympathetic high priest who knows the feeling of our infirmities, who knows our weaknesses, knows our struggles, because he lived here on this earth also. And so we look to him for the help and the strength we need. So we're comforted in the end by Christ through people and by the word that points us to Christ. But finally, we see and understand tonight that there's a purpose for the afflictions and sufferings of this life. And the two purposes that are set before us in the passage are these. First of all, God sends suffering so that we can help others as we have been comforted by God. God has chosen us to receive his grace so that we may convey the wonder and the beauty of his grace to others. We may not hoard the experience of comfort to ourselves, but God says when we've been comforted, we are to share that. We are to speak to others of that comfort that he has given to us. We don't know when that will be. We don't know if that will be weeks, months, years later. We don't know what other circumstances there will be around that either. But we understand and know this. God sends us suffering for this purpose, that we can help others who are hurting and suffering themselves. That's that circle that we talked about earlier. That circle of encouragement. That circle of comfort that we bring to others. That means then for us that we can see our suffering from that perspective. God brings in our lives so that we can help others who are suffering in their lives. And that means for us that we have to look for opportunities to help others who are hurting and suffering. We have to always remember that we can only help others when we put the focus on God. There's the danger that when trying to help others, we would be puffed up in our pride and think, I've got this all figured out. If you just listen to me and follow what I have to say, I can get you through this. That's not the hope and comfort God's people need. The hope and comfort God's people need is one who has genuinely seen and known the grace of God, and then who glorifies him. I've been through this struggle, but I tell you what, I'm at where I'm at today only because of what God did. That's the help and encouragement others need. Not someone who has all the answers and has it all figured out. But we, as we comfort, we point them to the only one who does have the answers and who does have it all figured out. It's the Lord of glory, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. To help others, we have to be humble ourselves and know that our help and strength is found alone in God. So that's a question for us. There may be those hurting here tonight. Do you want to use what God has given to you to help others? We ought to want to do that and be looking for those opportunities. The second thing we see here is the purpose for suffering is that God sends it for his glory. As I said earlier, that's where Paul begins. Blessed be God. Praise be to God. Striking, isn't it? In the beginning of a section dealing with affliction, what does Paul say? Where does he begin? Blessed be God. Praise be to God. Our pain, our suffering results in comfort. And when it does, the purpose of that is the glory of God. Only God can give comfort in such pain and suffering. Beloved, as you go through that pathway of pain, and there are some of the experience of that grief, that loss, that numbness, that fog, that anger, that depression, that coming to grips with what God has taken or done in your life. He brings us through that so that he is glorified as he brings real comfort to our hearts and souls. We have to keep that perspective in our suffering. Why has God sent it? For the glory of His name, as we are comforted. May that be our perspective as we look back. There's been a reason for the suffering that's taken place in your lives and in my life. That reason is God's glory. So that's why we don't rebel against it. He has a beautiful, amazing purpose that He's accomplishing. That's how we look back. Now, that's how we look forward too. We don't know what affliction awaits us. We don't know what hardship is ahead. But we do know this. God will glorify Himself through that. May God be glorified in our lives, in our affliction, and in the comfort we receive in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for this word that speaks to us concerning the afflictions of our lives. They are real. But we are thankful also, Father, that the comfort is real. The comfort we have in Jesus Christ. Pray that we may know that we may encourage one another in that. We pray, O Lord, that in all of these things we may see that this is Thy purpose for the glory of Thy great name. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.